We're going to end up in Isaiah chapter 6, but could y'all handle a little sermonette? Could you handle a message in a quarter? I like to ask before I just do it. But go to Hebrews 9:27 real quick. It's all the way back near the end of the Bible. Not that far. I found something today that I realized I have preached Hebrews 9:27 probably more times than I can count. But I have never even hardly looked at 28. So let's just have a little sermonette, all right? Hebrews 9:28. Then we're going to go all the way over to Isaiah chapter 6. If God doesn't just do something crazy right here, amen? You've seen in 9:27, it says, "And it is appointed unto man once to die, but after this the judgment." I used that and I said, everybody's got a running clock. And everybody's got an appointed time, right? And then when we say that, then we compare it to, whatever you got to deal with in life, and it's almost a negative. But I don't believe it was supposed to be used in a negative. Amen? Once you look at 28, so Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many. No, golly, I'm not doing a good job at this sermonette, but what I'm saying is, listen, everybody's got an appointed time, but to those that have their sins forgiven, amen, what Jesus did is He forgave the sin. Why it says He gave the sins of many? He died for the sins of the whole world, but only many or only some are going to accept it, amen? But for the, man, listen, God, I wish I could. Everybody in this room's got a running clock, but if you're saved, let it run. Amen? If you're in this and you're not saved, you're sitting there, you're worrying about the clock. I'm getting old. Do I got this? Do I got that? And everybody kind of does it. But at the end of the day, Gene summed it up. At the end of the day, when our time looks like it's going to be in the end, we can say, it is well with my soul. Right, man, ain't that good? Let me read that in context. I'm so sorry, but it just got overwhelming to me as I was sitting there. So Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for Him shall He appear the second time without sin unto salvation. Goodness gracious. There's going to be a second time. Now, the whole Bible is about Jesus coming the first time and the second time, amen? But listen, the whole Old Testament was pointing to a day that Jesus was coming. And He did. And He died. And He made a promise. He's also coming again. Man, listen, if you're in here, you're on a running clock. If you're saved, hallelujah. Amen? Because that Jesus is going to return. Amen? The one who died that one who died once, right? Golly, so much there. I'm sorry. That's your sermon. That didn't count, did it? Scratch that one. Go to Isaiah chapter 6, verse 1. Listen, I love this, and I'm only preaching this tonight. I preached it before, I know, but I'm only preaching this because there's something in it you need to know. Amen? There's the one big part in it that you need to know. And then we're going to run all over the place looking at it. Well, we're going to run to two more places. But Isaiah chapter 6, verse 1. In the year that King Uzziah died. Y'all see it? Is that what y'all are looking at? Isaiah chapter 6, verse 1. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and His train filled the temple. King Uzziah, he died. He was struck ill because he tried to do a job that he couldn't do. He tried to take up the priest's garments and be a priest instead of a king. And why it offended God is because he called him to be a king. But there's only one king priest, period. Never mind, that's good. Amen? It's Jesus. All right? But he said, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. That is still going on in glory. Well, let's just put it this way. It's always going on in glory. Listen, we will elect, unelect presidents. We will go through congresses and senates and judges and governors and mayors and sheriffs, and God will still be high and lifted up. That train that runs throughout the whole thing is his length of time upon the throne. It never, ever ends. Man. Isaiah, I don't know how this happens, but Isaiah and John the Revelator have a similar deal. They show up in heavenly places and they don't know what to do. Amen. Listen, if you were to show up in heavenly places tonight, if you were to be transformed, transplanted, or just in a vision show up in heavenly places, you wouldn't know what to do either. You wouldn't know what to do with yourself. You couldn't explain half of it. Amen? The Bible says we look through a glass darkly right now. What it means is we think we know something about heaven, right? But he says, heaven, you can't even imagine what it's like. Whew. And some of you, they got a vivid imagination. You're with me. I'm sitting there going, I can't even imagine. And that's how good it's going to be. Amen? But he got one look in there, and he seen it, what he wanted. His train filled the temple. Verse 2, above it stood seraphims. Each one had six wings. With twain he covered his face. That's two covered his face. With twain covered his feet. That's two covered his feet. And with twain he did fly. That's two that he did fly. All right? See, seraphim. Seraphim means ones of fire or the ones of flame. Whoo, glory. I said that this morning and almost got lifted out, right? On that. Almost took a right turn and never came back. When he seen them, the best way he could describe them was fire. These angels of fire. Amen? Whew. And I told you this morning, as soon as I seen it, the only thing it made to me is the closer you get to God, the hotter you are. Amen? The closest I've ever been to God, I always say, man, let the fire fall. I want to be around the fire. If you meet somebody who preaches hard, you say they're a fireball. I remember little old ladies in the church who were fireballs who would testify. Oh, you better met so-and-so. She was a real fireball. Some of y'all are thinking of somebody right now. Oh, you should have met her. She's a real fireball. She'd have let you have it, right? I wish some of them would have passed the torch. Amen. I wish all them the flame hadn't went out with them. Amen. I wouldn't mind hearing some good testimony today. Amen. I wouldn't mind some fireballs come along today. Burn it up. Amen. But Isaiah got one look into it. Can you imagine how holy God is and how awesome heaven is that these angels had four sets of wings just to cover their face? Two sets covered and two sets covered their feet. I mean, they had to cover their eyes and cover their feet. Two sets just for covering. Man, that's amazing. That tells you how holy God is. That tells you, as soon as I read that, it says to me, without Jesus, I don't stand a chance. I mean, minus Jesus, I don't got wings. I don't got nothing to cover me. And we can't stand before God. I mean, these are holy angels. These are seraphims who are made to be there, and they can't be in the presence unless they're covering their face and their feet and they're flying around the presence of God. Whew. I can feel Isaiah. I was like, what am I here for? I mean, I want to be here. I'm glad I'm here, but I'm totally unprepared. I'm totally not covered. But then you got to examine what is going on. I have to look at it and say, man, heaven's a pretty awesome place. But it should tell you something. Without Jesus, we don't belong. Without Jesus saying, you're covered. Without God saying, I recognize you as Christ, then you wouldn't be allowed. Because you would bring sin. And I started thinking about this one day. Could you imagine one sin in heaven is an offense that can't be forgiven? Whew. One. Not a bunch. Not the worst. Not the worst of the worst of the worst. Any. Now, I don't think we can get a hold of that, can we? Our minds can't get a hold. Heaven is a sinless place. You can't get into heaven with sin. The only way you can get into heaven without sin is to be covered by Christ. Whew. Man, oh man. There's so much there. Verse 3, and one cried unto another and said, holy, holy, holy. At first, I thought when I started reading this, I thought they were projecting their worship really towards God. They are, but they're speaking one to another. Amen? And I notice it's holy, holy, holy. One for each part of the Godhead. Amen? They're in unison. Everything's in three. Everything's in one. But man, they're saying one, holy, holy, holy. Man, could you imagine? That is intense. You need a new glorified body just for that. We can't hand 40 minutes of real spiritual church. You ever been to church where it's real good? Man, you'll be laid up for a whole Sunday going, man, how in the world? Right? Man, could you imagine this intensity? Angels that look like fire swarming the throne of glory. Holy, holy, holy. That the doorposts are shaking. Man, that's intense. I know when you preach this and you get reading it, some of you just blow right through it. Man, you start thinking, man, heaven is a pretty, this is the throne room of God. We talk about it all the time. When I get to heaven, I'm going to throw my crown right before, I'm going to get up at my feet of Christ. Man, this is it. One was brought into the presence and got a glimpse and we get to see it. I liked it. I like a little prequel. I like looking in. Amen. Some of y'all are nosy and you know it. You wouldn't mind looking in. One cried to another and said, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of His glory. Ain't that amazing? Think about it. I know I'm preaching to you, but listen to this. They're talking in heaven about the earth. Amen. Ain't it amazing down here on earth? We think that people are separated. We think that Christians worship God, right? And we think people that are Christians really don't care about the earth because we're going to heaven. But it's kind of opposite. God created the whole earth and everything on it to glorify Himself. This is what Paul says like this. The whole earth groaneth for the second coming of Christ. Amen? The earth is not, it's not Mother Earth, and it's not, hey, we want somebody to protect us or to protect me. Earth is sitting there going, come, Lord Jesus, come, and come now. They've saturated us with sin. Come and recreate what you made right. Oh, that's what the earth's saying. And if you got the Spirit of God in you, that's what the Spirit of God says in you too every once in a while. Come, Lord Jesus. You ever got one of those? Now listen, I know all the other stuff I've said before. I've got people saved. I want to see a bunch of people saved. I want my family saved. But every once in a while, I just ride down the road and you hear enough political stuff, you hear enough stuff, you see enough stuff, and you just go, come, Lord Jesus. Huh? Just come on. Amen? The whole earth, listen to this. The whole earth is full of His glory. Man, the whole earth. Now, I could be sharp right there, but I don't know if I should be or not. I love the earth, but I ain't no earth worshiper. Amen? I worry. Now, I'm going to be a little sharp right here. Don't be mad at me. I love people who get out in nature. I love to hike. I love to ride. I love to do all that. I'm not a big fisherman or hunter. But listen, the thing gets me is the people who will miss church and miss worshiping God, and they will be out in the world all the time. Whew. I'm dancing on that thin ice here. I'm just skating around on it. I can see God's work in my deer stand every Sunday. All from my boat, I can see God's handiwork. Well, that's all good and dandy, but who are you really worshiping? Amen? Are you starting to begin to wonder if you're worshiping the creation over the Creator? Amen? Because I love seeing beautiful things. Now, these places I go and things I do, and I'm going, man, that's beautiful. I'd love to see that again. I'll come back again. But there's a time when I just want to get in the presence of God and get out of the presence of the world. Amen? So I skated all around that, and all some people meet me at church. Are you against hunting? You against fishing? You against nature? I'm not against it, but I ain't putting it in front of God either. Amen? If I was in a deer stand or a boat or somewhere else every Sunday and I forgot and I forsook worshiping God, I'd have to check up on what I was really doing. Amen? The whole earth is full of His glory. Verse 4, and the post of the door moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. Man. Verse 5, then said I... It's my favorite part. Let's go from what the angels are doing. And here is Isaiah. This is a prophet of God, a man who speaks for God, a man who, when Jesus went into the temple and said, hand me the word or hand me the scrolls, it was the book of Isaiah. Okay? So if we're doing comparison, most of us would probably feel less than Isaiah. We're not. We're equal to. But if we were to do it, we'd think, man, if he's speaking directly from God, then he's probably a little bit this and I'm a little bit that. Not really the case, but let's just for sake, right? Just for scripture's sake. Look what he first says in verse 5. Then said I, woe is me. Man. We just went through that whole verse 4. Four verses right there, and we come away with how awesome it was, and we would think, I would want to think, man, I would be so excited to be there. I wonder if we weren't in the same shape, we'd be like, man, have you ever seen a real white sheep in some snow? They don't even look white. Amen? They said this sheep farmer, he had a bunch of sheep, and he would watch them upon the hillside when it was green and grassy. He'd say, man, they're so beautiful. They're almost majestic. And one night there came a big snowfall, and they were on the same hillside, but the hillside was white, and they were like, those filthy, wretched sheep. They're covered in mud. They're nasty. Right? That's how we would feel like. See, Isaiah's a man of God, a prophet. We're church folks. We're born again. We're saved. But praise God, you put us in the presence. Whoa, it's me. Whoa, I don't look good here. In comparison, I'm wretched. Amen. Woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of people of unclean lips, for mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. What he was saying there is, I've seen something that I should be put to death for. At no time you should be able to look at God. That's why they had their eyes covered. He shouldn't be looking on God, especially in his condition. And you say, what is his condition? His condition at this point, there in our earth, there is no Christ yet. And that's the reason I came to preach tonight. And I'm not getting into no weird doctrine. Don't sit here and think, man, the pastor done gone way off to the west or east or whichever direction you say he's going to go. I just want to show you something that kind of is getting me and it's sticking me right here. I want you to see it. And I said, woe is me, for I'm undone. Verse 6. Then flew one of the seraphims. Now these are the one of the angels of fire. Amen. Who flew off, right, unto him having a live coal. The live coal in his hand, that represents sacrifice. Amen. In his hand, which he had taken with tongs from off the altar. And he laid it upon the mouth and said, lo, this hath touched the lips of thine iniquity is taken away. Lo, this hath touched thy lips, and thine iniquity is taken away, and thy sin purged. How is that possible? How is that possible? How can he have his sin purged and be cleansed by a sacrifice that hasn't taken place? Now, my mind is very cavemanish, okay? And y'all know I'm not a smart man. I don't claim to be a very intellectual person. But I believe in heaven, everything is settled. Amen? I believe in heaven, he is the Alpha and the Omega. I believe in heaven that Jesus, when God says there will be a sacrifice, it is already sacrificed. You understand what I'm saying? And it made me think, because there's only one sacrifice and one burning sacrifice that could cover a man and make him righteous. Well, make him without sin. That's Jesus. The live coal has to represent Christ, but Christ has not died yet in his time, but in God's eternity. Whew. You say, well, man, that's deep. I know it is, but I started thinking about this in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 6. The Bible's kind of, things jump out at you and show you that this kind of thought is true. Amen? Because in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 6 speaks of a situation with us. Amen. How many of you are present here in this room? Okay, three of you are. Where are the rest of you? I was kidding. We're all here. Amen. Okay. How many of you are in heaven tonight? Thank you. Yeah. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 6 says, and hath raised us up together. Let's read 5 and 6 together. Even when we were dead in sins, he hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace you are saved. Verse 6. And hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. You can go through Ephesians chapter 2 and read it. And everything in Ephesians chapter 2 is either past tense, present tense, or future tense. Amen? Are y'all good? Past tense is always referred to as your sin. Saved is always present tense. Amen? And then right there, he says you sit in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. It does not say you will sit. You are in Christ Jesus. Christ is in you, and you are in Christ Jesus. Now, well, how can I be here and be there? Jesus says something else in Hebrews. He says, you are ambassadors for Christ. How can you be an ambassador? An ambassador is a representation or a representing party of a foreign place in a current place. What, right? An ambassador for Greece who lives in America actually lives in Greece but is an ambassador here for that foreign country. Whew. That means he has to have legitimate claim to being of that nation, right? If I'm going to be an ambassador for Christ, I have to be able to lay claim to the fact that I live in heaven. Amen? But I was looking at that and I was saying, wait a minute, I'm in heavenly places. So when Isaiah was touched by that coal, see, when Jesus refers to Isaiah in John chapter 12, he says, he's seen my glory. Huh? He's seen Jesus in heaven as the sacrifice. Woo, man, ain't that something? He seen my glory. Amen? Is that not good? Can I give y'all another verse that kind of goes along with this? Because sometimes I struggle with this one. It's one of my favorite verses. It's my go-to verse. It's when I got saved. It's Romans 8:28. Amen? And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to His purpose. How in the world can you say that? Unless eternity is rolled on. Amen? Unless you already know. Amen? Are y'all good? Man, all things work to the good. Man, I can guarantee there's some things in my life I'm sitting there going, how in the world did it work out to my good? And that's since I've been saved. How's that the good to anybody? Amen? But we don't see everything God's doing, do we? We don't get to see, we hardly get a snapshot of everything God's doing. I have been able to speak to just a smidgen of some people. I got saved when you were back here 6 years ago in this event over here. I got saved and I'm living. I don't even know who you are. I couldn't pick you out of a lineup. How many people did that affect, right? Let's just go, just on the testimony we heard today. Gene's talking to the doctor and the nurse is over here. And where does that nurse go? Huh? Where does she go? She goes home. What if her whole life changes? Do you see what I'm saying? You have effects that you don't even know. Amen? You don't know what somebody's going through. You have no idea when people are walking in and out of a room, in and out of their job, and they're hearing things that you're saying and doing and glorifying God in your weakest places and in your strongest places, at your best times and your worst times. You don't know how that affects people. I don't have a clue. Amen? But I just want you to see those, how God looks at this from that point of view. Then you go back to Isaiah chapter 6 and says, woe is me, man of unclean. He takes that off the altar, the live coal off the altar. Then his sin is purged in verse 7. Y'all good? Ain't that neat? I hope if you don't get anything out of anything I taught tonight, just think about how big God is and how time is. I believe in heaven time doesn't exist at all. I believe we're living in our own idea of what time is, and to God that doesn't even exist. Amen? It's eternal. And it's like when He says something, it's already happened. And that, man, if you're saved, that should give you a peace down here that God knows you, keeps you, watches you, and does everything in your life for your good, those that are saved. I mean, man, He's working through you all the time. Even in the darkest, most weirdest place. Man, I was thinking, just think about, if you're saved tonight, just think about how you got saved. Just think about what it took. And that in itself, God is an amazing God. How He works out all the people that He pushes in and out of your life and all the circumstances and all the mood. And He knows how you are and who you are and what it takes. Amen? He knows exactly when too, right? I mean, He gave me everything I ever wanted. He knew me. He knew how I was wired. I'm a loyalist. That's how I explain myself. If I tell you that I'm a friend of yours or if I love you, I'm going to stick with you. I will not. You'd have to pretty much kill me before I'm going to be like I'm not their friend anymore. You know what I mean? That's just how I am. Well, God gave me a wife and some kids. He knew. He knew right away. I got him. I got the one thing. I'll take that away from you. No. Because everything else didn't matter. Amen? Once he said, I can take that back, he said, no. No. Right? He broke me down. He was breaking me down, but he got to the place. Here it is, the perfect place. Right? Same with you. He got to the place where you can go your whole life. You ever said dumb things before you got saved? Christian. I ain't gonna do that. I ain't never do that. You won't ever find me up there doing that bunch of, you know. God says, man, I will make you preach my gospel. I'll have you running all over the place like a chicken with your head cut off. Right? Yeah. Listen, y'all ready? We're gonna finish. I promise. I love this kind of stuff. I just love the study, right? Look at verse 8. It gets good. Now we're switching gears again. We went from the angels. We went from the person who was there. Now let's see what God does with the opportunity. Once he shows you something like this, what does he do with somebody who's been covered, right? Who sees it, has been covered. Verse 8. Also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send? And who will go for us? Man, God's cool, ain't he? God brought him up there, showed him all this stuff, covered him and cleansed him, and then he speaks, and I could go on and on and on about this part right here, but he said, who will go for us, right? Who will I send? Who will go for us? Who will I send? That should be resonating with somebody. Who shall I send? Who will go for us? And man, he's sitting there. He is the only human in heaven at this point. Most unqualified being in present place. Y'all good? I know some of y'all think you're pretty special people, but praise God, he's there's angels flying around the throne of glory who look like fire. And God says, whom will I send? And who will go for me? Well, I think there might be some more qualified people up here than me. Send one of these speedy angels. Send one of these fireballs, right? No, that's not what he says. He says, then said I, here am I, send me. I'll bet you $1 million that he was saying that and he couldn't even believe he was saying that. Signing up and didn't even know what he was signing up for. Who will I send? Who will go for us? Us. Here I am, Lord. Send me. You get it? You don't have to be the most qualified. You don't have to be the fireball. You don't have to be all this and all that. All you got to be is what? Covered. You're willing. Covered and willing. Covered and willing, me, a willing vessel. Hey, ain't nobody else volunteering in heaven. I'll go. Ain't that neat? Man, I hope, listen, that's what God's looking. And let me tell you something. When you truly get saved, truly, truly, truly get saved, and I know everybody, man, there is just something in here. And you can't explain it, don't know what it is, but as soon as you hear it, you're like, I got to do that. Amen? I mean, I didn't even know. I was searching. So when I got saved, I started searching. I wanted to do stuff. I wanted to be involved. I thought it was homeless. I thought it was this. I thought it was that. I just started doing. And all of a sudden, man, it was just like one day, just heard it, like, preaching. That's it. That's it. That's what it is. I don't know what that is, but preaching's it. Amen? That was it. And it just clicked. And next thing you know, I didn't know how to start that. I didn't know how to get involved in that. I didn't know who to meet to make that happen. I just knew that's it. Heard it. Hey, Lord, I'm 1 year into this. If you want me, I'll go. Then I made the mistake before of, here I am, Lord, send me. And we ain't stopped going since. Amen? And I'm kind of glad of that. Amen? But you can't, it's hard to explain. And it's not a qualification. It's not a something like, oh, I'm ready for this. I guarantee you, Isaiah was like, I'm not ready for this, but I am ready. Amen. Y'all good? Does that make sense to you? God, I love this. And he said, go and tell this people, hear ye indeed, but understand not. See ye indeed, but perceive not. Make it the heart of this people fat, and make their ears heavy, and shut their eyes, lest they see with their eyes, and hear with their heart, and understand with their heart, and convert, and be healed. Man, that sounds like a great ministry, don't it? Let me boil that down to you. Go preach to a bunch of people that ain't going to listen to a word you say. Thanks, Lord. Amen? Right? Thanks, Lord. Yeah, really? We're going to go preach to people that their ears are going to be fat, their eyes are going to be heavy. They ain't going to hear, and they ain't going to see anything I'm doing. Yep, but just keep doing it. It's not about you, it's about them. Amen? I've cleansed you, I've covered you, I'm sending you, and now I need you to do it for me and not for them. Do it, right? Whew. All right, then what does he say? And then said I, Lord, verse 11, how long? That's a good question because I ask that a lot. How long you need me for, Lord? How long you going to need me? Can I scare some of y'all to death? How long you want me to work for you, Lord? And he answered, until the cities that are wasted without inhabitant, the houses without a man, and the land be utterly desolate. Wait a minute. That sounds like until the end of the world. Yes, I need you to be doing this until the end of the world, or until everybody's reaped what they've sown. Amen? All the way up until the point where everybody's reaping what they're sowing. And then you can quit. But the retirement package is out of this world. And the Lord having removed men far away, and there be a great forsaking in the midst of the land, but yet in it shall be a tent, and it shall return and shall be eaten, and a teal tree and as an oak, whose substance is in them when they cast their leaves, so the holy seed shall be the substance thereof. He's just kind of telling him, listen, and I believe this with all my heart. You might not believe this, but I don't. It really doesn't matter at this point for me on that. We're preaching to remnants as much as anything anymore. Amen? Remnants. A lot of people keep telling me, well, there's this big revival coming. There's a big revival coming. There's a big revival coming. I don't read that in the scriptures. Amen? I see the Lord coming back. What I see right now is ones and twos and threes and fours and fives here and tens there and hundreds here. But the days of these revivals of thousands and thousands and thousands and big crusades, I don't know. I don't know. I just don't see it that way. But I do see it this way. I do see one day, and probably in America because we don't think it would happen in America, but maybe the last person that needs to hear the gospel might hear it at Flat Top Church. You say, well, that could never happen. Mary said the same thing. When she said that, you know, she was the one that's going to have Jesus. Amen? What if you were the one who were to minister to the last person who needed to hear Jesus and accept him as Lord and Savior? And God said, that's the last one. That's all we need. Let's go. Call the church out of here. Amen? Preach the gospel until everything that's going to happen is going to happen. And even when people are, we're seeing a reaping of what we've sown as a nation for years and years and years, right? But we still got to keep preaching Jesus, no matter what. Amen? Preach until they be saved or till they reject it, until the Lord comes back, right? All right, let's all stand. I hope y'all have learned something tonight. I guess the biggest takeaway for me tonight is that just how God, how his time.